is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you today. This may be Father's Day on the earth, but with you every day is Father's Day. Thank you for being such a good, good father. So Lord, as we come today, we're asking that you will speak to our hearts by way of your spirit. I'm asking that every heart will be open and receptive to hear and to obey what you have established from your word. Use me as an oracle of God to speak the truth in love so that we may grow up into him, which is Christ. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders following our lives as we surrender and obey your word. Bless us indeed in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. All right, well, we're currently in a series called Noise Cancellation. And it's a series on how to hear God's voice better and clearer. So if you are a visitor and you're interested in that subject, I would encourage you to go back and listen to what we've been teaching. However, since today is Father's Day, I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. I am going to put a pause on our series and I'm going to teach a lesson that is Father's Day related. Now, if you're not a father, I still want you to stay focused. Look at somebody and say, you still need to stay focused. I want you to stay focused because what I'm going to be sharing is principle based and it will help everybody, I believe. So we're going to start out with a verse that I believe everybody might be familiar with. Let me see here. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13:11. I want us to actually read this together. All right. Are y'all ready? Let's read. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so if you're taking notes today or if you're following us by way of notes, in fact, if you need some notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy. But our message title today is From Boys to Men. From Boys to Men. And the goal of the message today is threefold. Number one is for us to understand. Number two is for us to accept. And number three is for us to operate, watch this, in the biblical progression of spiritual maturity as a man, or I'm going to add, as a believer. Amen. So let's just jump right into our first point. Our first point this morning is, read it with me, growing is necessary. Growing is necessary. So I'm going to reread 1 Corinthians 13:11. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like one, I understood like one, I even thought like one. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Everybody say childish things. So let me, you know, just briefly summarize the context of this verse. So it doesn't look like I'm just pulling a verse out of context to use it. So Paul is writing to this church in Corinth. That's where we get the book of Corinthians from. And so he's writing this church at Corinth, who was a very spiritually gifted church, but they were also a very immature church. Because just because you know how to operate spiritual gifts doesn't mean you are mature. Because the gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And so this church was struggling with pride. They were struggling with disorder in worship. People would just stand up while the word is being taught and just start speaking in tongues. There's no interpretation. So they were spiritually gifted, that yet they were immature. They were struggling with pride, disorder in worship, favoritism, which happens in church, by the way, even sexual immorality. And so he's talking to them about that, and then he moves into the area of love, and he talked about love being the foundation of functioning in any spiritual gift or manifestation. And so in the middle now of talking about how love is the greatest thing and what the gifts of the Spirit are, he begin now to, he inserts this verse, verse 11. He inserts it, and he does it as a metaphor to contrast between, watch this, spiritual immaturity and natural maturity. And so the purpose of the verse that he was trying to do to help this church was to help them grow up. So just look at somebody and tell them it's time to grow up. So that's why I can use the verse. So let's talk about now what Paul said. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. So when you look that word child up, it means an infant, it means a baby, it means a minor. And then figurative and spiritually speaking, it means an immature Christian. So there are three areas, everybody say three areas. There are three areas that we're going to tackle this morning that Paul was describing as spiritually immature. He said that when a person is spiritually immature, or if they are a child, they're going to speak like one, they're going to understand like one, and then they're going to think like one. So let's look at how a spiritually immature person talks. And as I talk about this, I want you to examine your speech. Examine how you talk to see if you fit this. So let's talk about infants for a minute. Because with infants, you know, when they come out, they really can't talk. All they do is make noise. They make noise because they can't articulate what they're saying. In other words, they're making noise, but they ain't saying nothing. I wonder how many of you are making noise, but you ain't saying nothing. Listen, when a person is spiritually immature, or as Paul described it, as a child, listen, children, they only cry when they want something. They can tell you everything about what they want because the world is centered around them. And since their vocabulary hasn't developed completely, they're unable, watch this, to properly communicate. In other words, it's easier to keep, you know, as a spiritually immature person. When your vocabulary spiritually hasn't developed, you use other words to help talk. Look at your neighbor and say, are you still cussing? Spiritually immature people cuss. Well, I got upset. Yeah, because you are spiritually immature. There are other words in the vocabulary that you can use other than cussing. Amen. Well, Pastor, I think it's okay every now and then. Well, how would it be if I was up here cussing? Amen. Even when an infant grows up into a toddler, the toddler may be able to speak better, watch this, but it doesn't mean they know how to communicate better. Because spiritually immature people, they can talk, but they may not be communicating. Spiritual babies are unaware of the power that are in their words. They have not yet allowed the Holy Spirit to tame their tongue. That's why in James chapter 3 verse 5, the New Living Translation I'm reading from, he says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. It's but a tiny spark that can cause a great forest to catch on fire. And among all the parts of the body, think about this, he says, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a world of wickedness corrupting your whole entire body. The tongue can set your whole whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Listen, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. I'm going to add dogs in there. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes, watch this, this tongue that's in your mouth, it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made into the image of God. And so blessings and curses are coming, pouring out of your mouth. Surely, my brothers and my sisters, that ain't right. That's what he said. Look at your neighbor and say, that ain't right. And in the natural, listen, church, babies are only concerned about communicating how they feel. When they're hungry, they cry. When they're dirty, they cry. When they're tired, they cry. When they want some attention, they cry. That's what babies do. They're only concerned about them and nobody else. It's their world and we just happen to live in it. Amen. And as a man, if you, or as a father, if you have children and you're supposed to pay child support and you send it, but you send it depending on how mad your ex made you. It's supposed to be due on the 1st, but she done ticked you off, so you gonna mail it in on the 15th. See, the problem with that is you're immature because your child support ain't about her or you. It's about your kids. So here it is. She's trying to manage resources. She's trying to make sure groceries are there. She wants to make sure she pays her mortgage on time. But you're immature because you mad because she didn't text you Happy Father's Day. Just look at somebody and say, it's going to get better though. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Let me hurry up here. When babies or toddlers, spiritual immature people, when they don't get their way, what do? You see them in stores. They throw tantrums. They just lock down and they watch this. They shut down and stop talking. I wonder how many of us do that. So let's go back over what Paul said. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like one, I understood like one, I thought like one. When I became a man, I put away these things. And so we now move into point number 2 that I want you to read with me. Let's read together. I must grow in understanding. See, if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to move from boys to men, we must grow in our understanding. So when he said, when I was a child, I understood like a child, that word understood means 3 things. It means to feel, it means to think, and it means to judge. Everybody say to feel, to think, and to judge. In other words, when you and I spiritually mature, then we don't just allow our feelings to dictate how we feel. We make sure we manage how we feel. We don't just think any kind of way, and our judgment or how we judge things are not coming from a place of a child. Now, a good example of this is in the life of Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 2, and I'm reading this because most of us, we view Jesus either as a baby because he was born in a manger, or we view him as the Savior at 33 who was saving the world. What the Bible does not give us a good glimpse of is when he was either in his young adult stage, and we get a very small glimpse of when he was like a child or a young child. So let's read this. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Verse 42, when Jesus was 12 years old, how old was he? Do you remember being 12? Yes, I remember being 12. They attended the festival as usual. So think about this. You're 12 and your parents and y'all go to the fair together. Okay. So watch what happens. After the celebration was over, fair is done, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days, everybody say 3 days. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Verse 47, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching you for you everywhere. And then he says in verse 49, but why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Now the King James say, don't you know I gotta be about my father's business? Now look at verse 50. They didn't understand what he meant, but I want you to notice the actions of Jesus after they came and got him. Then he what? Returned to Nazareth with them. Here's what's key. I want you to read it with me. And he was obedient to them. His mother stored all these things in her heart. And then watch verse 52, because it's describing our first point, which is we must, growing is necessary. It says in verse 52, Jesus grew in what? Wisdom. And he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with who? God and all the people. In other words, I wanted you to see that Jesus let his mother and father keep going, and he stayed behind. Now, if Jesus was in 2025, he probably would have got a whooping. Now, listen, I want you to hear something. Immaturity is not sin, necessarily. He was just being a 12-year-old. Say amen to that. He was just being, I remember years ago, my mama asked me to go to the store and get something. And you know, the store in Hutchins was, you know, not that far. You get on your bicycle and you go to the store, you know, and I got it. And then I got distracted on the way back because I saw some of my friends. So some of my friends, you know, I was like, oh man, you know, so we started having a good time. Next thing you know, a 20 minute situation then turned into 2.5-3 hours. Woo, you know, I know why you saying woo. Cause when I got home, hot diggity dog, where have you been? Well, I went to the store. How many know that day? Everybody say that day. That day, Evan Connor got a grandfather's whooping. You know what a grandfather's whooping is? It's not a regular whooping. It's when they take your clothes down and they whoop you like that. How many got one of those before? Yeah. You wanted to call CPS. They didn't exist in those days. So Paul was saying, when I was a child, listen, I felt like, I thought like, and I judged like I was a child. So let me see if any of you all have experienced what I'm about to describe. Have your kids ever done something that they knew better than to do? See, I got a yes already. They knew they weren't supposed to do it because you've taught them better, but they did it anyway. And then you asked them that major question that I believe we've all either heard or asked, and that was, why did you do that? And then I'm pretty sure you got that famous answer that I've gotten as a father. The answer was, I don't know. Son, why did you put Crayolas in the washing machine? I don't know. Why did you leave home with your pajamas on? You know better than that. I don't know. Well, guess what, church? As adults, that action from the children is equivalent to us knowing the word but not doing the word. We think, just like child or children think, that knowing what to do is good enough, but it's not the knowing that gets blessed, it's the doers that get blessed. I kind of back-engined on that one, didn't I? James 1:25 says, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and they continue in it, and they being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. Everybody say a doer. A doer of the work. This person who does it is the one that's blessed in his deed. Listen to the Amplified version. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer. A what kind of doer? An active doer who obeys. Watch what happens to this person. He will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. So listen, church. Listen, fathers. Listen, men. If we're going to grow from boys to men, naturally and spiritually, there are three things that we must do. Everybody say three things. There are three things that you and I need to do. Here's the first one. We must, read it with me, grow on purpose and not by default. You say, well, what in the world does that mean, Pastor Evan? See, growing by default grows us older, but not necessarily grows us wiser. You ever met an old fool? See, an old fool is someone who has grown older, but they have not grown wiser. Say amen to that. Here's number two. Let's read it together. Grow our thoughts so our actions will show that. In other words, if we're going to go from boys to men, if you and I are going to spiritually mature, we must grow our thoughts so our actions will show that. You know why? Here is why. Because, let me go back here. Because see, our thinking, everybody say our thinking. Our thinking shows what spiritual grade we're in. See, Paul said, when I was a child, I felt like one. So the question you need to ask yourself is, what grade is my thinking in? Say amen to that. Let's go to number three because I'm running out of time. Let's read it together. Grow with the help of others. Stop. Because most people feel like they can grow by themselves. Babies can't even grow by themselves, church. They need help from other people. Babies need help to grow, so you and I need help to grow, and I'm talking about on a spiritual level. And since babies can't grow by themselves, you and I, especially men, we must connect with what I'm going to call next level others in order to be called, so that, watch this, this is called what? Mentorship. Let's go to number four. Let's go to number four. All right, here we go. Or number three, this is our third point. Let's read it together. See, I got a number four on my page because I'm adding stuff, but I'm going to stick with this because my time is ticking. Let's read our point number three. Let's read it. My thinking must grow. If we're going to grow spiritually, what needs to happen? Our thinking has to grow up because he says, when I was a child, I talked like one and I thought like one. So how do children think? That word thought, when you look it up, it means to reason, to compute, to process and calculate. So this is not regular thinking. This is process thinking. And I love this because let me show you this word thought in 1 Corinthians. Let me show you in another verse. In Mark chapter 11, they're going to put it on the screen. In verse 27, this was Jesus talking, and it says, and they came again to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, religious people. They said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question and answer me. And then after you answer me, I will tell you what authority that I do what I do. He says, is the baptism of John, is it from heaven? Or is it from men? Answer me. So watch this, verse 31, which is where this word thought comes in. It says, and they what? Reason. That word reason is the same word thought in 1 Corinthians. When he says, I thought like a child, he was saying, I reasoned like a child. Because when when we haven't learned to reason at higher levels, we make bad decisions because what we're doing is we're making a decision from the viewpoint and the perspective of a child. Amen. This is when we do and then we think. You go and buy a car before you figure your budget out.
That's too practical, ain't it? That's too practical.
Amen. This is when you saw something on sale and you buy it, but you use your electricity bill money to do it.
Amen. You and I must be able to properly reason, calculate, and process if we're going to grow from men to men from boys and from boys or men to fathers. And you can't properly calculate and reason if your emotions rule you. Listen, church, even a calculator doesn't need emotions to process the right answer. I'm going to say that again. How many use calculators? All right, listen, even a calculator doesn't need emotions to process the right answers. And see, you and I, we must learn to manage our feelings and our emotions if we're going to grow and mature as fathers. You know why? Because if we don't, every decision we make will be based on our feelings. And here's the bad part. Depends on where your feelings were that day will determine if you made a good decision or not. Amen. We must learn to reason so that our actions, watch this, men, create a pattern for our families to follow. We must learn to be angry and yet not sin. See, most guys, you know, we may not tell you, but we have anger problems. And some of us don't even know why. And you know, here's the thing. The Bible doesn't say that it's a sin to be angry. Amen. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, because there are some conditions to being mad. He said, be angry and sin not. That means it's possible to be angry and not sin. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Well, okay. So if you do get mad, man of God, and it goes past 24 hours, you have just stepped in the realm of sin. Let's see what else it says. Neither give place to the devil. So the moment you get mad, the moment it's past 24 hours, you open up the door to the devil and says, welcome to the Connor family. Let's read Ephesians 4 in the New Living Translation. I need to hurry up. It says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Now, some of y'all say, oh, I got 24 hours to be mad. But yeah, you have to watch what you do. I got 24 hours. Pastor said, I got 24 hours to be mad at you, boy. No. It's not about just being mad. The question is, what are you doing while you're mad? If you're going off, you done shut down, you done cussed each other out 24 times in the name of I got 24 hours. He said, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. So here's the question. How do we grow as men in how we process, reason, and calculate? Because Paul said what made him a child is when he thought like one. So the question is, how do we now raise up how we process, reason, and calculate? There are five ways that we need to grow. Everybody say five ways. There are five ways that we need to grow. Here's the first one. Let's read it together. We must understand the difference between real and true. You say, oh my God, Pastor Evan, what does that mean? That means, listen, our feelings may be real. But the truth, which is God's word, is what we should use to govern how we feel. Sometimes you gotta take the word and make your feelings comply. Amen. You do it at work. You wanna cuss your boss out. You wanna do it. They said something, they did something, and you wanna give them a piece of your mind. But there's a part of you that says, I don't want to get fired. so I'm not going to do it. Well, you know how to make your feelings comply. Well, why not do it on the spiritual side? Don't let your feelings govern how you respond. Say amen to that. Here's number two. This is the second way we need to grow in our reasoning and our process. And read it with me. We must understand that operating in the flesh is death, but operating in the spirit is life. At the end of the day, and you can write down Romans 8:5. I'm not going to go over it, but it talks about how the spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other. And listen, and it talks about how God, the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life, but to be carnally minded is death. In other words, how you think determines how much life you walk in. Here's number three. This is another reason we must grow. Let's read it together. We must learn to reason through spiritual wisdom and not just natural wisdom. See, there's a difference between spiritual wisdom and natural wisdom. The world has the ability to walk in natural wisdom, but see, if we're going to be men of God, if we're going to be spiritual people, we just can't reason out of natural wisdom. See, natural wisdom says, he looks at your budget and says, we can't afford to tithe. It doesn't make sense. I shouldn't do it. That's natural wisdom. Spiritual wisdom says, well, if I do bring the tithe and offering, God said he would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. He said he would rebuke the devourer. See, that's spiritual wisdom. Everybody say spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is governed by how God's word wants us to think. Here's number four. Let's read it together. Let go of old models and adopt the new one. You say, well, what do you mean by that? You saw your daddy make decisions without talking to your mama. He come home with a new car. He come home with a whole new wardrobe. He come home with all kind of stuff. He ain't talked to your mama. And see, you thought your mama was okay with that. She wasn't okay. No. When you make decisions outside of your spouse, that's going to eventually create disunity. Disunity then will cause disagreement. And then disagreement sometimes, depends on how deep it goes, can cause destruction. Let's go to number five because y'all didn't like that one. Here we go. Let's read it together. Renew my mind to God's way and surrender to God my way. At the end of the day, guess what? God says my ways are not your ways. But you know what we can do? We can make our ways his ways. Say amen to that. So let's land this plane. I'm almost done here. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But then watch out what he closes with this. He says, but when I became a man, let's read this part with me. I put away. In order to be mature spiritually, you're going to have to put some things away. See, only children keep their room messy. Put that away. Well, if you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to have to put some things away. And let me throw this at you. Let me see what I got. I got 3 minutes. Let me throw this at you. There are some blessings that God will not release to you if you stay spiritually immature. Let me show it to you in the natural, then I'm going to show it to you in the spiritual. You're not going to give your car to a 12-year-old. They're not mature enough to handle that. You can buy it for them, but you're going to have to keep it in the garage and keep it clean and keep it serviced until they are of age to be able to handle it. There are some blessings that God has in your life that he's put on the shelf until you and I have spiritually grown up for him to release it. Galatians 4:1 talks about that. He says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they what, church? Until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age the father has set. In other words, church, there are some blessings that God has. He has them in store for you, but we must grow up to get them. So here's the question, and I'm closing. I don't, somebody get behind me. I'm closing. Here's the question. What do you need to do? What do you need to stop doing so you can grow and mature? What do you need to stop doing? Do you need to stop cussing? Because cussing is in the room right now. Okay. Do you need to stop excessively fussing? Because if you, you know, if you know the cussing ain't right, so you'll move from cussing to fussing. Hello, somebody. See, Pastor Evan, when I'm dealing with some bad customer service, listen, I don't cuss, but I can fuss real good. Are you cussing? Do you need to stop cussing? Do you need to stop excessively fussing? Do you need to stop being negative? Do you need to stop allowing your feelings to rule you? Do you need to, listen, does your anger control you versus you controlling your anger? So how do we apply the word today? Here we go. Let's read it together. I must have a role model to become a better role model. Who's in your life that, let me just say this. Let me be your role model until you find somebody better. I'm 60. I've been around the block a couple of times. Let me be your role model until you find somebody else better. Here, let's read number two. We must develop a spiritual growth plan. Listen, we plan everything else. Amen. Number three, we must list the areas where you need to grow. I want you to go home. Don't just throw these notes away. I want you to write down, okay, what are some areas that I need to grow in? Here's number four. Let's read it together. We must change a little every day. Ask the Holy Spirit. Listen, big changes are hard to do, but little changes are easy. If you want to stop smoking and you smoke a pack a day, go from a pack, start decreasing. How many in a pack? I ain't saying it. How many cigarettes in a pack? How many? Come on, I ain't gonna judge you. I just want to know. How many? 20? Okay, that's a round number. Okay, so let's say you're smoking 20 a day. Go down to 19. There's my clock. Go down to 19. Smoke 19 for a week. Then the next week, go down to 18. Little changes help you make big changes. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Because heaven is real.